Christian greetings to each of you this evening in the name of Jesus. Also bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters down at or over at chapel. You're welcome there anytime. Before I go into the message, I just go down memory lane just a moment. I can't help but do that. As I come back, I think it's this weekend, Monday, tomorrow, will be 7 years that we moved. And yeah, that went by pretty fast. And so coming back, there's some changes that I noticed. Of course, the building, parking lot, and also individuals. There's some that are no longer here with us. And one of our girls said we were coming here, she said, "Oh, Larry will not be here." That's right, Larry is not here. And but I'm glad for y'all who are here. And we're still here serving the Lord. And it's good to be back with you. Not necessarily that relishing this position, but want to fulfill what God has for me. This afternoon, I still was not feeling prepared, and still I'm not sure that I feel prepared. So thank you for that devotional. God gives power to the faint and strength for the tasks we have. And this afternoon, I got off my shelf a bound volume of Eastern Testimonies of 1969 bought it at my dad's sale because it had 1974 in the year that I was born, so bought it for that reason. And sometimes I'll look to see if there's articles related to a subject that I'm preaching on, and I found an article related to dress, and Brother Aaron Shank wrote it, and it was December of 1969, and might refer to that here in a little bit in the message. But one of the things that caught my attention, there was a article written by Harry Erb on the history of the Elm Street Mennonite Church. And that was interesting. I read that article and learned a few things. Well, your committee asked if I would come and speak on this subject, Practical Principles of Modesty. Perhaps you'll go home disappointed, saying the preacher didn't tell me exactly what is right and what is wrong on this subject. What can I wear, what can I wear, or what can I buy, what can I buy? And as the Lord leads, maybe we'll refer to talk about some of those things. I'm not exactly sure. But hopefully we can glean some principles that will guide us in our life and in the decisions that we make. So, practical principles of modesty. Practical means of or relating to action and practice rather than ideas or thought. So practical is something you do. It's more than just an idea or a thought. It's practical. It's something that you do. Capable of being put to use. A principle is a kind of rule, belief, or idea that guides you. So we have something that can be put to use, and then we're supposed to be talking about a kind of rule or a belief or idea that guides you in living. A morally sound person is a person guided by principle. Guided by principle. We say that's fairly elementary, but think about it. Psalm 119, 104 and 105 says, "Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Tonight I want to hold up to you the word of God as direction for principles in relation to this subject. The word is a lamp to my feet. What is modesty? Well, modesty, the word simply means the quality of being modest. Well, that didn't help me out a whole lot. What is modest? Three definitions: having a moderate opinion of one's own good qualities and abilities, not boastful. So, think about it in your life. Having a moderate opinion of one's own good qualities and abilities, not boastful. Second definition is not excessive. Pause a moment. Your committee asked me in relation to this subject, made a comment that the thought surrounding this was that modesty affects more than just dress. The modesty affects how we live. So not excessive. The third definition is pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Now, definition number one is having a moderate opinion of. A moderate opinion of. Moderate is defined as avoiding or lacking extremes. It is tending toward the average. Tending toward the average. Well, what's average? You probably know in the walls of the Elm Street family what is average. You probably know that. You probably know if you tend towards the average or if you're excessive or otherwise. Now, before I go into the message further and look at, I believe I have five principles, I would like to take a little bit, I would like to talk just a little bit about image. Now, most individuals that have a sound mind, emotionally stable, are concerned about image. Right? What is image? Well, image is the general impression that a person, organization, or product presents to the public. That is the image. Elm Street Church, as you go in and out of these doors, and as you go in and out of the doors of your home, you're presenting an image. Your businesses, your homes, your trucks, your clothing presents an image. Now, the natural tendency of our human heart is to want to attract attention to ourselves. It's our natural inclination, some maybe more than others. Now, cultures have image identifiers, I call them. So, what I mean, and that is, you think about it. And our background and how we were raised and all our background probably plays into that. But did you think about image identifiers? You know, you see something. For me, if I see a Denali, that's an image. That identifies something. Years ago, when the cell phone came out, I remember going along, well, Brother Claire, there you are. When we went on that trip to clean up, I think there was one bag phone, cell phone along. And to me, that was an image. I mean, that was, businessman had a cell phone. Well, there's identifiers. Not all wrong. But most people are concerned about image. And there is a right and proper way to have a healthy awareness of one's life and actions. We're concerned about image. We do not come to church and look like we have lunch on our mouth yet. We're dressed up. We're concerned about image, and that's right and healthy. This awareness helps us to find our way in living within what is the socially accepted norm. But I believe that at the core of this subject on modesty, whether we're talking about how we dress, we're talking about our overall image, I believe that at the core of this subject is the presence of image. The presence of image. Think with me. Image, your image, is both projected and it's also protected. What do I mean? Projected image is the impression you're sending out. When people see the context of who you are and who you appear to be externally, it's a projected image. You have a projector up here. You send an image from back there up to here, and you see it. Protected image is what happens when individuals refuse to reckon with the reality of a false representation. Now, that's a little clumsy. But people will go to great lengths to protect an image. Protect what they have built up, and it is not what it is said to be. I mean, it is not what it appears. And they will go to great lengths to protect the image. I think that at the core of the subject is image. How are you relating to chemistry of your personal image? Is your heart selfish? Is your heart after God? A quote. We are called to be separate from the world because the Christian value system is completely contrary to the world's ideas. The world values self-expression, self-esteem, and fashion. But God calls us to self-control, self-denial, and a lifestyle that honors Him above all else. The world values familiarity and pushes the boundaries of appropriateness. But God calls us to honor and respect each other out of love for Him. The world values the praise and approval of men, but God calls us to see the qualities of the heart. We define modesty as pure in thought and conduct, or pure in thought, conduct, and dress. Modesty has to do with more than just outward expression, but it is both an inward virtue and an outward expression. Now, I invite you to turn with me to Romans chapter 12. And verse 1 for the first principle of modesty. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I've titled the first principle of modesty of simply this, the principle of a renewed mind. Talking about things that will guide you. The principle of a renewed mind. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It's a loaded verses. Some of my favorites. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Principle number one, principle of a renewed mind. Modesty, whether you're talking about outward dress, you're talking about modesty in lifestyle, not extravagant, living within the acceptable norm. Modesty is a heart issue. And I want to remind you that your heart will be where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be. Cleanse that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside may be clean also, Matthew 23:26. A renewed mind results in a life of sacrifice. A renewed mind results in holy living. Holy living. A renewed mind results in a life acceptable unto God. And that's, we cannot live lives acceptable to God without a mind that's renewed. And this verse tells us, be not conformed to this world. And this verse, particularly, if you study the words, it means non-conformity, non-conformed to the world, and being transformed by the renewing of your mind. The whole process, the whole purpose of life is not to please ourselves. It is not for selfish glory. The whole purpose of life is to live a life that is pleasing to God, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect, will of God. Is there anything in your life and in who you are that you know that God is not pleased with? This is not proving an acceptable, perfect will of God. Be not conformed, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. I'll just read them for you. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, what? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. When the heart is renewed, the desire of the heart changes from glorifying self to glorifying God. It doesn't mean that everything is easy, that all struggles are over, but there is a renewed heart trying to help someone to see, and inconsistencies is very difficult when the heart is not there. Principle number two is the principle of humility and respect. Humility and respect. Humility is an inner virtue of self-abasement that expresses itself through a modest expression of one's abilities and gifts. First Peter 5:5, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. We're talking about practical expressions of modesty. I'm just trying to give you what God laid on my heart to share, practical principles of modesty. Perhaps a modest person doesn't mean that they're not proud. Perhaps a proud person can still be modest. I think it's pretty difficult, though. I think it's going to come out. Humility is essential in maintaining a lifestyle of simplicity and holiness. Humility does not seek to draw attention to, but rather to esteem other better than. Humility. Humility. A sentence from our decrees for to keep. May we labor and pray that we will not lose the blessing of the Lord because of a sense of self-sufficiency and social importance. Humility. When pride begins to grow in the heart, it begins to manifest itself through efforts, and I call them efforts of anti-God expressions. Anti-God expressions, worldliness. Talking about principle number two, humility and respect. Thinking of respect, modesty is grounded in a proper respect of oneself and others. Living a life that does not seek to be showy and gaudy. Respecting others and respecting your own person. Respect lives within the boundaries of propriety and reserve. We live in a society that has lost its moorings of respect and decency. I don't need to tell you it. But respect and decency, oh, not everyone has lost it. And I do have a passion for this subject, because we will lose it too if we are not intentional of not. The further one travels away from God, the more one loses his moorings of respect. Thinking of humility, how fancy is too fancy? Have you ever made the decision that, no, that is too fancy? I mean, that is too elaborate. No, that's not for me. How elaborate is too elaborate? Humility and respect. Maybe I'll just read here. I have it in my notes here. I'll just read here in relation to this part. 1 Peter 3:3-4, whose adorning, talking about the wife, the wives of the husbands, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold, of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. I know that's talking about wives in that particular case, but if it's good for them, it's good for us as men too. to live a life a hidden man of the heart, an ornament. When we fail to nurture the inward adornment, and I just feel so pressed in that, when we fail to nurture the inward adornment of the heart, we will seek fulfillment through outward adornment. And we see that when there's, and when the heart is, when the heart is sick, when the heart is yearning for a longing, whether it's through whatever pain that the heart has gone through, a yearning of the heart, we seek to fulfill it in outward things. Not always the case. But parental training of children, well, getting ahead of myself here. Honest, or humility and respect, a principle of modesty. Number three. The third principle of modesty that I see is the principle of covering and concealing the body. This is more talking more practical, but it's the principle of covering and concealing the body. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 21, God clothed Adam and Eve with coats of skin. Unto Adam also and to his wife did God make coats of skin and clothed them. Clothing there means a tunic. The aprons were not sufficient. God clothed them. And there's more theological things related to that than we could talk about. But God clothed them. And something happened when sin entered the human race. Man, for the first time, experienced guilt and shame. And they hid. And they hid. They told God because they were naked. God asked them who told them that. God clothed Adam and Eve with skins. Exodus 20, verse 26. So, it is God's law, God's principle, that modesty clothes the body and conceals our bodies. God is concerned about covering of the body and propriety. Exodus 20, 26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered. Mark chapter 5, verse 15, the account of the Gadarene demoniac who was freed from the bondage of demon control and oppression was sitting clothed and in his right mind. I would like you to remember that the way of God clothes people, and the way of the devil unclothes people. Unclothes the body. You remember that principle. I have lived long enough to have witnessed the progression of individuals who have left the faith of the Anabaptist faith, conservative faith. Doesn't mean that's without struggle in the Anabaptist communities. We'd understand that. But they left the Anabaptist thought and doctrine and slowly gravitate to a life of immodest expression. Now, I want to say that a body covered does not guarantee modesty. A covering of the body that reveals the body is not modest. It can be abbreviated, can be too tight, can be revealing. A covering of the body that reveals the body is not modest. I will, therefore, that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, 1 Timothy 2, 8-10. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. I think the word modest here in this means appropriate for the occasion. Modesty in covering, concealing the body is not just a call for women. It is also a call for men also. Covering and concealing the body. And that is why we are concerned about what we wear, in simple words. It's why we're concerned. Men need to be expressing modesty in what they wear. As the godly head of the home, fathers, we need to be giving direction to our wives and to our daughters, our sons, in relation to this subject. Because they do want to know, and we do need to talk, and we do need to say. Think with me. Native to the human heart is the desire to be attractive. Perhaps it's more so on this side of the house. The desire to be attractive to the opposite gender and envied by those of the same gender. And it's a war. It's a toggle. It's a tug. It's a This desire, when not brought into subjection, leads to vain expressions of extravagance and sensuality. Think about it. I just beg you to think about it and be honest with your thoughts and motives. Principle number four is the principle of gender distinction. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto men, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord God. May God help us to maintain the practice of gender distinction. We live in the midst of an ungodly culture who are wrestling with this very thing. And we have become somewhat callous to it. But now, in what our culture is dealing with, there's individuals who are really mixed up. Really mixed up. The Bible clearly teaches that men and women are equal in their standing with God. Both are on a level plane. However, the Bible also clearly teaches there are specific gender roles. Maybe just dropping a line here, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but I am jealous that in our homes and in our churches, we teach young men to be men. And we teach young ladies to be ladies. We are facing pressures where those roles sort of get switched. There's the stay-at-home dad. There's the working woman. Anyway, how does that relate to modesty? I don't know. It's just a side dish. But let's keep, you know, girls. God created you a lady, mothers, young people. And it's perfectly fine and actually really good that you learn the art of being a good lady. And doing the things that women do. You can let your brother go shoot the buck. But anyway, it's just a side thing. I'm not saying that that's totally wrong. But you get the point. Number five, principle of quietness. Principle of quietness. 1 Peter 3, verse 4, the end of verse 4. The emphasis is on what God considers of great price, a meek and quiet spirit. I looked up what this word quiet means, and I was surprised because I thought I knew what it meant. But this word quiet means keeping one's seat. Keeping one's seat. It means still and undisturbed. When life is filled with fantasy and ostentatious behavior, that's a big word, there is little room for cultivating quietness. Ostentatious means vulgar or pretentious display designed to impress or attract attention. This is not just in related to dress. It can be how we live our life. Quietness. Keeping one's seat. Reminds me of my wife's grandmother years ago. We go to meet her and she's sitting in her rocking chair. Rocking back and forth. Keeping one's seat, it doesn't mean lazy. It means just steady. Just there. If you have a question, grandmother, that'll remember this particularly with her, but is ready to talk. And there's depth there. First Timothy 2:9 speaks of shamefacedness and sobriety, which carries some of the same thought. I see in a meek and quiet spirit one who has learned to let the winds of life, has learned to not let the winds of life toss them about, but they chart a steady course. They do not need the latest and greatest and be on the cutting edge of everything. But they chart a steady course. Learn to develop a meek and quiet spirit. I said I was going to read from Brother Aaron's writings. He wrote on dressing the spiritual life. From the beginning of the Anabaptist movement, Anabaptist and Mennonite disciplines have sought to provide a standard of dress which would best express these biblical ideas of separation and modesty. We believe that world-denying, non-conforming, let me read this just a little slower. We believe that world-denying, non-conforming, spiritually-minded Christians will have more respect for the Bible than for the fashion journals, for the church's standards of modesty than for the pride-fostering, lust-provoking designs of the world and for a God-fearing ministry overseeing souls as those who must give account to God than for the sensual, unsaved, unprincipled designers of world fashions. It's a loaded statement, but think about it. I urge you to think about it. He talks earlier in this about the world's regulations of conduct and appearance are very changeable and usually express the vanity, discontent, pride, rebellion, sensuality, and immorality of the heart. World regulations also foster all these degrading qualities in a society that is moving rapidly away from God. In sharp contrast to this, the Christian is called upon to live a life of transformation, meekness, modesty, economy, godliness, and deliverance from world enslavement. When these great Bible principles are believed in and kept alive, they will be expressed properly and continuously. And then he says this, a principle unexpressed is dead or dying. A principle unexpressed is dead or dying. In conclusion, I would like you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. I'd like to read verses 15 to 17. You know, I didn't give a lot of practical do this and don't do this. And I'm not sure how to feel about that. Part of it bothers me. But I hope that you can get the picture. If you love God, you're going to look like that. And you're going to be concerned about, looking like that. It's going to make a difference in where you go. It's going to make a difference in what you wear or do not wear. First John 2, 15 to 17. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But here's what I want you to remember. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Think with me back to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That ye may prove the acceptable, perfect will of God. And that's why we are here, is we are here to live the will of God. Not to fashion ourselves after the lusts of the world and the things of the world. Well, may God help you and bless you as you endeavor to live a modest life. Modest in heart. Modest with a renewed mind. And modest in external expression. You know, I know what it's like to gain weight, and you know you really should move up a pair of pant sizes. That's hard to do. We got to do some hard things. Lose weight. Well, it's just a small thing. But may God help you. Let us kneel to pray.